Station number 12247, Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 9.
Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 9. Can you give me the names or the numbers of the camps you were in to date, Mr. Weddle?
Well, the first camp we got off the train from the march was Thorn on June the 13th. It went on to Fort 12. And that was a Polish army in barracks, as far as I could see. Then we went on to a working party on June the 21st in the Bromberg district to a bush called place called Buszkowo, which is in Poland, I believe, in the forest area. On July the 20th, went to another place in the Bromberg area. It was called Prust, in the forests. Filling trenches, cutting timber, and gathering barbed wire that the Poles had put down against the defence against the German forces.
And that was the last camp that we mentioned on the last tape.
Mm-hmm. That was the last camp.
What working hours did you put in during a day?
Well, it was the weather was all right from dawn till sunset, and we got lucky, we got a cup of coffee before we went away. The food wasn't much cup. We got a couple of bits of bread. Sometimes those that's honey. And then it was about an hour to an hour and a half's walk through the forest to these places to fire to the place of work. Luckily, the weather was pretty warm then, you know. Facilities for washing was very poor. It was at the village pump, or carrying the water and pails. Washing, bathing was out. But one place, there was a lake, and the guards would, them were inclined to go in the lake and just have a swim. But it was dodgy going in there, because the lakes were very cold. And you had to go a lot of brushwood to get to this lake, you know. So.
Were you allowed fires in your village?
In Buszkowo, no, there wasn't. Not that time, no. There was a little garden where the toilet was, the schoolroom, schoolhouse garden, and just had to stop in the schoolroom all the time, just doing what you could do, you know, just resting or trying to wait to get in a bowl of soup from the old. There was a kitchen there, a field kitchen, and a couple of lads used to go in there. One that comes the room next door, and the cooker there. That's how we got in touch with the Polish women. That's the one that one of them escaped there. But the poor, there was very poor. There was no news coming through. No mail, nothing like that. So it was pretty rough. All our clogs, wooden clogs. So walking in an hour and a half in wooden clogs is... It was a bit rough in the forest, you know. But at least we're outside instead of being stuck in the one place all the time, you know, which was a help. In the forest, you could get little berries, little bilberries, you know, ground. We call them ground bilberries, and pick them and eat them. And they were just starting to come through, you know. Now and again, you might get some bread off the pools. If you met some coming through, they'd throw you some bread. The guards didn't stop them. Well, it did it when the guard's back was turned and just threw it over. So that's, the camp was poor then. Well, and they weren't in very good health then. None of them were really healthy, you know, that particular time.
Had you lost a lot of weight?
Oh, I was starting to get my muscles back again after the march, and which I was very pretty weak then after that. After resting a week, but walking, sunshine, and getting a little bit of food down there, bread, once your stomach got used to it. We might get some turnips and that in the beetroot in the soup, which was gradually getting something on my stomach, and we're getting a little bit of strength back, you know.
How were you filling in the boring times when you weren't working?
Just talking, for trying to keep yourself clean. Try and fix yourself up some socks, bits of cloth, things like that. Trying and talking about the war, what was happening, one thing or another. Trying to get some news. But otherwise you were just fell asleep and then you were up for the next morning to go to work.
There's nothing like gambling or that kind of thing taking place.
Well, there's nothing to gamble with. Oh, mate, I never seen a pack of cards up to that. No, not that particular time. No. Not them two camps, anyway. Well, we used to get little, in the schoolroom, we got some Polish books. Found some. We decided to take them and try and pick up some words through them, you know, put the time in a bit. But otherwise, you were just talking and trying to scroll something, you know.
Was there any kind of early black market racketeering taking place?
Oh, I wouldn't say a black market, just there was nothing to swap with, really. I had nothing. Most of the lads had given their rings away and do their lads and ends on the march, you know. So there was no bartering as such at that particular time. Might have been some, but I never had nothing. The lad I was mucking in with at the time had nothing to barter with. We're just hoping we'll see some pools and throw some bread and little bits of stuff over for bits of meat.
Did it have any effect upon your personality, being locked away like this and knowing you were far from home without news?
Well, it wasn't so much of being locked up. I mean, you've seen the way around it. But, you think you weren't stuck on your own. You were, as a group, you could walk right round the big schoolroom, you know, and you could go outside and see one or two of the pools. Well, it was only a village, small village, and try and get to the pump and get some water, things like that.
So the stress and the strain wasn't beginning to show, was it?
Oh, not all that much, no. Cause, well, the stress and strain was there because you got no news. If you asked the German for news, it's finished. The castle was finished. Everything was finished, you know. Of course, bleed it where you wanted to, of course, but just had to take it. Of course, I don't think there's nobody ever give a poor, but not to me either. Just you get there. I always get the pessimists, but most of the lads were just trying to keep alive, keep a spirit up. There was always joking. There was always somebody, a funny man, doesn't matter where he can, he'll find somebody making fun of something, you know.
There's no arguments breaking out.
Some lads would try and pinch what little thing you had, but fortunately, I had nothing stolen that particular time. There was nothing to steal anyway. But there was arguments. But nothing vicious, really. Only the one fight was about food. Accusing one of fiddling, that was the cook. And the lad with the Durhams had a go at him, but the lad separated him.
Were you responsible for your own discipline to a large degree within the camp itself?
Oh, there was neat corporals and not telling you what to do, you know. You was up yourself. It's the guards that was discipline. It's only if you were in a group and the guards would go to the... If there was a corporal or a sergeant there, and try to, or the man that could speak German, would more or less tell the senior bloke there what they wanted, and they would say, well, bring it to attention. But most of that would just struggle up. There was no really hard discipline, you know, not there. Each lad was on his own, looking after himself, the one on the same boat. If there was rationing, everybody got his share if he could. It was the blue, that's where the blue pencil sergeants and corporals were coming into their own then, you see.
Blue pencil sergeants, where they
get well, they took the stripes off. There was a rumour going they were going to shoot them, you know. And they took them off when they got the camps and found if there was any food to be dished out, such as coffee, Ozatz coffee, Ozatz honey, bits of meat, sausage meat, and bread, just rations, you know. And a corporal or a sergeant would get the job, and his pals. It depends how many had to do the job. And that's then they were putting blue pencils up, just that you know they were a corporal or a sergeant. Some were genuine, but that put Peter to that when mail started coming through, and the blue would be looking for a corporal or a rifleman, and he had two stripes up. And they wanted to know why, so that was that put Peter to that. After that was later on, of course, hadn't they?
So they pencilled on the stripes.
They just pencilled it on because they want a little bit of. A bit of fiddle if there was food concern, you know. Because in my way, going somewhere, you'll feel a little bit extra. And that's a very fair man, you know. There was a few like that, you know.
How long were you at Prust the last
time? Prust, well, we went there. We were taken away from there. Went back to Thorn for 12 years. That was in a different camp. But that was under canvas. Part of the camp was under bell tents.
And what time would this be?
About August the 16th.
And you went into tentage?
I did. I was in a tent. Some were in a hut, but most of them were in bell tents because there was another big camp farther across the town. So that was a Thorn camp as well, but different numbers, you see. That's where they were. These were camps where you went into, and if they wanted working parties, they took working parties off them. But that was a bad camp, that. I was only there. I wasn't there very long there. There was trees in the camp. Within a few days, all the bark was taken off the trees for the lads that were smoking. Trying to take the bark down to get some smoke, which... I would rather pack in as day that, like. But the poor food was poor. Watery soup. Nothing much in the soup. At least sometimes you got a bit of vegetable in, you know. Mostly barley. But it was very watery in that camp. And there was a medical officer in that camp. I never personally seen him. I had any time to go to him. But there was a one I remember. And Sergeant Major, the Welsh Guards, was in charge of the camp. No, he tried to put the discipline into the lads, lining them up properly and dressing them. And the lads were in rags at this particular time, some were weak. And when you're hungry, you start fighting back against anybody that starts coming there a bit disciplined, especially guards' discipline, you see. Maybe he was doing his bit to try and see what. The British troops were disciplined, true, but when you're hungry and you're in rags, no socks on, and just wooden clogs, and he's in a battle dress with boots on, these lads come from all walks of life. You've got militia lads, territorials, they weren't all regular soldiers. They just, when you brought up the tension, a little bit, you know, sort of things, and there. He starts shouting in guardsman manner, and the lads didn't like it one little bit. And there was rumours he was stopping there. You used to get a ticket to get a bowl of soup. Stop your ticket for a bowl of soup, which to me was all wrong. And it was all wrong to a lot of people. And he got a bad name, him. And I think so later on, I heard he had been reported about it. Somebody had wrote to him about it. But that was a time, there was a name being bandied about in the camps of a Sergeant Savage with one of the Highland Regiments. I never seen him personally, but he was the one they were talking about going into a special camp at that particular time. He was always escaping. In fact, they were getting that sick of him escaping that they were going to lock him away up in there. On his own, to a special camp, but I didn't actually see him, but going by the rumour seemed to be pretty good about it, because it wasn't just from one man, it was from quite a few men. He got a terrific name, Sergeant Savage. I don't know whatever happened to him.
Do you ever recall the name of the guards?
No, I didn't, no. Not the Welsh guardsmen, no. I didn't have much talk with him when he had the parade. I had talk with him when we all lined up. And he was shouting the guards for, you know, bring it up. And the guards, just, they weren't happy at that kind of thing.
What were you doing in this camp?
Nothing, just started there, just from the time in, sitting down, trying to fiddle some food off anybody where you could get it. Trying to get some clothing.
Was there any source for getting food and clothing?
Very little at that particular time for me.
The Germans weren't still giving it
out?
Oh,
no, it was just very poor rations and had nothing to get it. We did get start getting clothing in the later on when I left that camp. I went from there on the 28th of August, I went to Fort 17.
Where was that?
That was a hole in the same... in Thorn, same town, but that was a better camp. That was a sergeant major there, with Royal Scots Fusiliers, I think. Now he run a pretty good camp, a fair camp as far as I understand. It was only there a while, but we got some clothing in that camp, because my boots was, what boots I had were well down to the welts, and clogs were going. I got a pair of Czechoslovakian compressed cardboard boots, the same kind of shoes we used to buy just before the war for a half of 2 and 6 for dancing, you know, the same kind of thing. Like leather tops, compressed soles, and cloth top. So I had a pair of them. They're off there. And I got a Polish jacket. Cavalry jacket. And I still had my old trousers on, which were all dirty and oily. And we were picking up lice then as well. We started getting the lice vibe at that time, you know, off the sandy soil and everything. But I wasn't there long. We're just putting our doing no work there.
Were you able to get showers or baths? Or
no, no, there was no showers, just... trying to, can't remember getting a shower there. Oh, there, it, there was a wash place, yes. Big round washboards, we've got them in England, in some places, in their factories, where you stand on there and the water comes down. That, but I never got a shower. But you could wash yourself down in the warm water.
How many men would there be in this camp?
Oh, there'd be a few thousand in them camps.
And how did you manage to get your turn at the water washing? And there wasn't very many of them.
Well, you just went in the best way you can. You didn't mess about too much. You just got in, got a shower, and splashed. You had just a thin bit of cloth or a towel, a thin towel to dry yourself down with. So you didn't mess about.
The Germans still weren't.
You had no soap. You had violence. Oh, no, no, no. Just to used to peel titties, always peeling titties. Titties and beetroot. The rest was all ozats and cabbages and that. But there's always about 30, 40 men peeling potatoes. But these were holding camps. Most of them were just messing about. Till you got sent another working party, which I might be feel funny, but I wanted to go to the big camp. You got to me, them big camps. Yeah, I seen some things that I didn't want to see. Some of the men were getting a bit funny, some of the lads.
In what way were they?
Well, they were getting off, doing anything to get food, tobacco, you know. And one or two started linking each other. I said, what the hell, I'm getting rid of this. I'm not standing for that. No way. Not all of them, but one or two.
And were these identified quickly by the others?
Yeah, they got themselves organised in some of the big camps, but up to that particular time, it was rough in the camps there. No meal coming through, no news. Well, the only news we got with Simon, got new women in them camps, that was caught on the coast, and they would bring a little bit of news that went straight through the camps. But there was a lot of illness in them at that time as well. A lot of lads were going down with illnesses.
You mentioned diarrhoea. What other illnesses were they getting?
The wind, some got back trouble, colds, skin trouble. And of course, there was a medical officer in these camps, you know. And we got our first inoculation in there. There was a diphtheria in one of the camps in Thorn. Break out of diphtheria at that particular time.
Did you have much opportunity for help, for assistance with your illnesses and ailments?
Well, you went in front of the German doctor, or there was only one camp at that particular time with an English doctor that I knew of, and if you had a bad back, or they just give you a job hump and something was heavy, that was a cure for a bad back. But I believe one or two did get, if they were serious, they got medical attention, put cuts in that, just try to keep them up yourself. I never had any really treatment, not that particular time.
And you still hadn't received mail or
no,
Red
not
Cross?
No, not a thing, not that particular time, no, nothing coming through then, not the camps I was in, no, not a thing. You just got off there what the Germans give you and what you scrounge or fiddle yourself if you want a working party. So some of the lads went on working parties from the big camps, but they stayed in the big camps. They were going back, going out in the morning, come back at night time. No, they used to bring little bits of things in, but they got searched. So you had all sorts of ways of trying to get it in, putting the things underneath the hat, and if they had a hat and things like that, but the guards got used to that.
And would they take these things
away? Oh, take them off if they were.
Even
it depends where the guard was, aye. If it was coffee and things like that, they would take them off, you know, or eggs. Depends upon the guard.
What quality of guards were they? Were they old men or young men?
Yeah, the mixture. Well, the mixture. Some were strict, some were reasonable. Some would throw the lad cigarettes if there was no other guard there. But while strict, the officers now were strict. They were strict with their own men, mind us. Some tried to make you keep yourself clean. But with the facilities, there wasn't much cop. But the bigger camps got themselves organised. They were getting themselves organised. If you got a good NCU in fact, I think the Sergeant Major with the Royal Scots Fusiliers, at one particular time, if the German guards went to him, he would make them stand of attention. He wanted the same respect. That's what he gave them. He was a good bloke, him.
How did he make it such a good camp?
Well, he was fair, as far as I understand. He wouldn't stand no nonsense. Not from the guards. If you stick up for the lads, and if any of the lads were funny, he'd come down heavy on them. And there was quite a few sergeant majors in that camp at that particular time, because I met my old sergeant major there for the first and last time.
Who was that?
Since I was prisoner. Bertie Baggs, Sergeant Major Baggs. Of course, I knew him. For I was called and joined the army. Because I asked him where my cousin, if he had seen my cousin Robert, which he had done, but only for a short while, he didn't know where he was then. See. And that was the first and last time I'd seen him like him.
If there was an official punishment given out, what kind of punishment might that be?
Well, I think what doing all the dirty jobs, all the nasty jobs, especially the cesspools. When the wagon put them in the wagon, you'd get the job of emptying the cesspools and with ladles and ladling into the wagons to take it away with the horse and the horses and empty it onto the fields, drain onto the fields, you know. Cesspool, stinking job that. You got all the dirty jobs to do. Oh, I think if you did really bad, you got taken to a punishment camp. Where they did that, I don't know. I wasn't in one, so. You only heard all rumours.
Wasn't a cooler, or whatever they call them?
Well, I don't know. I know I was in one, and the lads, if they got punished on the camp, they had a dirty job. And if I say they had I believe they started a camp where they sent all the p- persistent lads, and I reckon it was pretty bad there, according to the rumours, but now I wasn't in one, so I don't know whether I was lucky or not, I don't know. But
was there any signs at this stage of men in if lumping together, ganging together to mete out any punishment against those who in the camp who
there was some bullies, but only against individuals, lads being bullying, and I found if a couple of you got together, two or three, and there was some good lads there, they were big enough to tell the bully boy to quiet him down, or the other lads would tell him to gang up and quiet them down. There was some bully boys going on.
What kind of bullying did that take? What
form? Well, just do what I tell you to do, you know. Just out to please them. Standard. You always got some blokes that wouldn't tolerate that. Not that particular time, anyway. Oh, there was no gangs as such. I didn't find any, anyway. I was never bothered.
Where did you go to after this camp? You said you weren't there very
long. Sure, no. They were just trolling camps, and conditions were bad there. There was one, I think it was two Salvation Army people in that camp. There's one or two blind lads there as well. I've been blind as well. And they were getting no special treatment either, you know, at that particular time. So what happened to them, I don't know. I've never seen them anymore. I went from there to on September the 3rd, I went to, still in Thorn area, went to a place called Shaplets. And I've got East Prussia here, but it could have been West Prussia. I think it was in the Danzig Free State area. That was the first time I went there. It's Schoplitz. It was a Polish village.
What kind of a camp was that?
Schoplitz, no. Oh, I was there. went on train from Thorn to a small German town in the Danzig area. Danzig Free State area. And then I had to walk from there. To Schoplitz. It was a long, weary walk that. And then we had there was only a small village. And, there was a convent at the bottom. And there was this hill. Must have been 2 miles long, I think, the hill. Rough, country kind of road. Sandstone. Just a rough made. And woods there. And this camp was right on top of the hill. Few good huts. And then we had like big barns. We were stuck in the big barns. I think there was a couple of hundred were there in that camp. The German guards had the good huts that they used to build. About 2'6" off the ground and double glazed. And a big iron stove in them. They were good huts there if you got in them. But the walls were just like a big barn and tiers of wooden shelves, like egg boxes knocked together, big long egg boxes stuck together. That's the impression you got. Three tiers. That straw in them, but we threw the straw out for fleas. And we still have the lice was getting pretty bad.
So we're lying on boards, were you?
On just on the bare boards, and we managed to get a blanket. I'd managed to get a thin blanket, old second hand blanket. No running water in the camp. We found that as soon as we went in, it was no running water, but they had a water wagon. Well, a wagon, had to pull it by hand. There were about 40, I think, 20 at a time. We used to go to a town every day to go on that camp, down this hill to the bottom where there was a stream going past, and the village pump was there. It was only about 5 minutes walk off the convent, and there was a few farmhouses there. So then went to the stream and pulled a water cart, and we had to fill it with pails from the pump, village pump. So we had to pump the old village pump in with book and fill the buckets and fill the water wagon, you see. We were doing that. It only took two or three men to do it. The rest were in the stream getting a wash, washing our feet, cooled, but it was better than nothing. And swilling our face, some would stow off to the buff and splash ourselves down and dry ourselves the best way they could. And I think there was two or three went into the convent to do little jobs for the nuns. And I think they did a little bit of bartering with the nuns. And of course, if you got anything, kept it yourself. And then we'd have to pull it up to the camp. There was 20 in the front and 20 at the time, trying to push and pull at the same time, you know. By the time we got it up to the camp, it was only half full. Because no proper lead was in a bumpy road. And then they dished the water out. Most of it had to go up with the cooking and for the German guards.